So, everyone had a good Christmas, all of those things, great. Well, I hope you all did. I hope you online also had an amazing and blessed Christmas. Before we get started, I'm just going to go ahead and open us up in prayer. Lord, thank you so much for each and every single person who is listening, whether it's now or later. Lord, I pray that you would bless them, bless their spirits, Lord, just to be attentive to what it is that you're saying to them. Lord, I just pray your blessing and your anointing over me right now, Lord, that you would just speak through me, that it wouldn't be my words but your words. Lord, I just pray your peace over me and your peace over every single person who's watching and who's listening. God, I pray that you would speak something specific into their hearts and into their lives right now. I just pray that you would continue to lead them and guide them and direct them and just give them everything that they need to accomplish what it is you have set and you have called them to do. In Jesus' name, amen. So I was talking to Pastor Melissa earlier about how crazy it is that this is the last Sunday before the new year. And I know that, like most people, the way that 2020 has been are excited for the fact that it's the last Sunday before the new year. But it's kind of wild that we just go, we have Sundays, everything, and now we're at our last Sunday. And the next time we meet like this, it will be 2021. That's kind of insane. Maybe that's just me. I guess that's the way that days work, you know, one after the other. But I think it's really exciting as well. And I think people always kind of have that sense of excitement when we think about a new year because it's a fresh start. It's a time where, like, yes, you can always start things or change things any day of your life. It doesn't have to be the beginning of a new year for us to do that. But something in our mind just clicks about this is a time where I can change something about myself if I want to. This is a time where I can set my mind and my heart towards seeing a change in my life if I really want to. And that's why a lot of people set resolutions around this time of year and things like that, because they're like, okay, this is a fresh start. This is a time that I can improve myself. And I'm not really for or against New Year's resolutions personally, but I am for self-awareness and self-improvement. I think that's something we can all do at all times, right? And in that wheelhouse of things, just like improving ourselves and becoming as the best version of ourselves that we can be, I guess is the best way to say it. A few months ago, the Lord had really put on my heart the importance and the power of our words, which is why it was really awesome, Damaris singing that last song, I Speak Jesus, and just the power that speaking something can have in our lives, and not just for ourselves, but for our families, for the people around us, the power that speaking Jesus can have and the impact that that can have. But anyway, going back to the power of our words, Proverbs 18:21 instructs us the tongue can bring death or life. Those who love to talk will reap the consequences. And I think most of us know or have heard of the different warnings we're giving in terms of what we're saying, right? Like, be careful what you say. Like, don't say that. You know, be weary of what comes out of your mouth. Like, just pay attention to what you say. And it's actually a really serious thing. Like, I think I grew up hearing that, but I never really thought about it and really meditated on the fact that, like, yeah, we're careful with what we say for a reason. Like, we're instructed to be careful with the words that come out of our mouth for a reason. And I was really just in awe as God was teaching me how important our words are and why they are so important. And even though that was months ago when I knew I was going to be preaching this Sunday and just thinking in the area of having a fresh start and people being in that mindset, the Lord immediately brought this topic back up into my spirit to talk about, like, why our words have so much power and why coming to this last Sunday before the new year in that mindset, why this is just something great to speak on. So I'm excited to be able to jump into this with you guys this morning. My prayer truly is that the Lord would speak something life-changing to you specifically, whether it has anything to do with my Lord's words or not. I just pray that the Lord would speak something to you that you would leave different than you came. Thinking about words and all of those things, the first thing that comes to my mind when I think about words being powerful is creation. I think I immediately just go to a place of, like, awe and amazement when I think about the fact that everything in terms of the world that's around us was literally the product of God's spoken word. Like, he said, let there be light, and so it was. And it was that simple for God because that's the power of his words. Nothing supersedes the word of God. Like, there's nothing greater or more powerful than it. John 1:1-4 says, in the beginning, the word already existed. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. He existed in the beginning with God. God created everything through him, and nothing was created except through him. The Word gave life to everything that was created, and His life brought light to everyone. And jumping down to verse 14, so the Word became human and made His home among us. He was full of unfailing love and faithfulness, and we have seen His glory, the glory of the Father's one and only Son. So here we're seeing Jesus as the Word of God, so powerful. Nothing tops the creative power, life-giving power, loving power of the Word of God, and no word endures beyond the Word of God. In Isaiah 40, verse 8, Isaiah prophesies to the people, the grass withers and the flowers fade, but the Word of our God stands forever. And yes, we are talking about our words this morning, but it is the Word of God that puts it all into perspective for us. Our words clearly aren't more powerful than God's words, right? The importance, though, is that the power of the Word of God tells us what our words should be based upon, one, and the fact that our words have the power to bring forth the Word of God. In Psalm 107, 19 through 20, it says, Lord, help, they cried in their trouble, and He saved them from their distress. He sent out His Word and healed them, snatching them from the door of death. The people of Israel used their words to cry out to God, and God responded with His words. When we choose what we speak, our words tell us what is in our hearts. When we look back at Psalm 107, 19 through 20, they cried out, Lord, help. It was their speaking first that called forth God's speaking into action. But they made a choice. They chose to speak out those words. So that shows what was in their heart. Their faith for God's deliverance was in their hearts. In Matthew 15, 18, Jesus says, but the words you speak come from the heart. That's what defiles you. And the Word of God challenges what's in our hearts. Hebrews 4, 12 says, for the Word of God is alive and powerful. It is sharper than the sharpest two-edged sword, cutting between soul and spirit, between joint and marrow. It exposes our innermost thoughts and desires. It's our spoken word compared against the Word of God, and that brings conviction and correction where necessary in our lives. The Word brings us to a place of reflection when we meet with the Word with intention. If you just read it to read it, and it's just like something you're checking off a list, like, okay, yeah, nothing's really going to happen because our hearts aren't in the right place going to it. But when we seek that revelation, when we speak with it, the Lord will bring things to our mind that we need to correct. He'll bring things to our mind that He's challenging us with. Luke 6, 45, Jesus says, a good person produces good things from the treasury of a good heart, and an evil person produces evil things from the treasury of an evil heart. What you say flows from what is in your heart. Our heart reveals itself in our speech and in our actions. And there's no way to get around it. We can't really hide who we are with our words. Even for people who lie, that's terrible. But even for people who lie because they want to put off a certain persona or they want you to think something to be true about them that's not, even in that, compared to the Word of God, what they're really showing you is that deceit and lying is in their hearts, right? So you can, like, think, I guess, of, like, different scenarios where you're like, oh, I can get around that, but you really can't. Like, even if in your speech, like, you try and, like, code it in a certain way or say certain things, or you just use frivolous language and you're like, oh, like, I don't really mean that. Like, people say, like, I love pizza. Like, you don't really love, or I hope you don't really, like, love pizza like that. But what we're just showing is that, like, frivolous comments or frivolous thoughts are in our heart. And I'm not saying, like, you can say you love pizza. Like, I'm not really trying to, like, come against you for that. But I'm just saying, our words are going to tell us something about ourselves, and it's going to tell us something true about ourselves always. So the question that this raises for us is, what does our speech say about our hearts? If we were to analyze our words, if we were to look at what we say, what is it telling us? What information is it trying to convey to us? Our hearts can be full of grace and mercy, or they can be full of judgment and criticism. They can be filled with positivity or negativity, peace or discontent, joy or sadness. And, of course, the list would go on and on, but our words kind of put it all out there for us, whether we like it or not. And if we're complaining, then our words are telling us that discontent is what's in our hearts. If all we do is complain about something, we don't really have anything positive to say, our hearts are discontent, and that's going to lead to us actually living a discontent life. And it's something that we shouldn't be okay with. I think I don't want to say in today's society or anything like that, but just in general, we can sometimes be too okay or too accepting of certain things that come out of our mouth or certain things that we hear other people say. Like, I commonly hear people say, like, oh, well, I'm just a pessimist, and that's kind of an excuse for the things that they say. Or, you know, I just like to look at the glass half empty. Or I just, you know, I want to play out the worst case scenario just in case. And I think in passing, we kind of accept those things, and we're like, oh, okay, like, that's just who they are as a person. Like, they're just a pessimistic person. Like, they're just like that. But what that's really speaking to is a heart that's full of doubt and a heart that honestly has a huge lack of faith. And, I don't know, as an example, like, if you're getting ready to watch a movie, and as you're sitting down, like, you're getting ready to watch a movie with your family, and all you're saying is, oh my gosh, I already know I'm not going to like this movie. I just know this movie is going to be terrible. Like, I know this is going to be a waste of my time. I don't even know why we're sitting down to watch this movie. But whether you end up being right or wrong about the movie, you can make no argument after the movie is over that you had faith that the movie was going to be good. Like, you would be lying if you tried to say, like, oh yeah, I knew that that was going to be a good movie. Like, no, you didn't. You obviously said, this is going to be a terrible movie. Like, I don't know why we're wasting our time with this. So no matter where it ends, if all we're speaking is negativity, we can't claim faith and negativity at the same time. We can't, like, claim complaining and faith at the same time. Those two things aren't in line. It's one or the other. So I'm not saying that to be discouraging. It's just we have to be reflective and honest with ourselves because it's important for us to know what's in our hearts. What we're unaware of can't be changed. And it's actually really encouraging if you think about on the opposite spectrum, because once we're aware, there's nothing that we're aware of if we submit it to God that can't be changed. So once we have that awareness and that willingness to submit it to God, there's nothing He can't change in us. So it's less discouraging to know and more encouraging, because the more that we bring to the light for ourselves and the more that we're willing to admit about ourselves, the more God has the space to change us. And the reason that I'm pressing this so hard, I know it kind of sounds doom and gloom, is because whatever is in our hearts is the kind of life we will produce. And we can tell what's in our hearts by what we say. So if our words are full of discontent, like I was saying earlier, our heart is full of discontent, but that also means we will live a life of discontent. If our words are full of joy, our heart is full of joy. And you know what? We will live a life full of joy. But if our words are full of doubt, our hearts are full of doubt, and we will live a life full of doubt. And I'm sure you all get the point. But all of that to say, faithless words will produce a faithless life. Because a mouth full of faith is a heart full of faith, our faith is found in our words. So we read earlier in Psalm 107:19-20, Lord help, they cried in their trouble, and He saved them from their distress. He sent out His word and healed them, snatching them from the door of death. Like I said earlier, faith was found in the words of the Israelites. It wasn't just that they spoke, but it was actually what they spoke. They didn't say, oh my gosh, we don't deserve this. Why is this happening to us? Oh God, if You like just really want to come help, like that would be great. Or I hope You do something about this, Lord. Like, God, this is so difficult. Like, just complaining about this situation. No, they said, Lord, help. Like, with an exclamation point when you read it. They said, Lord, help. Simply put. And God sent His word and rescued them. So God can act on our prayers of faith, but He really can't act on our lack of faith or on our complaining. Those aren't things that call Him to action. When we look at the faith of the centurion in Matthew 8, starting in verse 5, it says, when Jesus returned to Capernaum, a Roman officer came and pleaded with Him, Lord, my young servant lies in bed, paralyzed and in terrible pain. Jesus said, I will come and heal him. But the officer said, Lord, I am not worthy to have You come into my home. Just say the word from where You are, and my servant will be healed. I know this because I am under the authority of my superior officers, and I have authority over my soldiers. I only need to say, go, and they go, or come, and they come. And if I say to my slaves, do this, they do it. When Jesus heard this, He was amazed. Turning to those who were following Him, He said, I tell you the truth. I haven't seen faith like this in all Israel. And I tell you this, that many Gentiles will come from all over the world, from east and west, and sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob at the feast in the kingdom of heaven. But many Israelites, those for whom the kingdom was prepared, will be thrown into outer darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then Jesus said to the Roman officer, go back home. Because you believed, it has happened. And the young servant was healed that same hour. And here we say, and here we see that Jesus says, because you believed. And in 2 Corinthians 4:13, Paul says, but we continue to preach because we have the same kind of faith the psalmist had when he said, I believed in God, so I spoke. Believing here is being fully persuaded of something, being fully convinced in something. Just believing something in our minds doesn't produce faith. And I feel like I say this all the time, but it's believing with our hearts and not just our minds or not just our head that produces something. Another example, like if we talk about believing God as our provider, just one section of thought that we can go in. And we can believe that with our head or you can just believe that with our heart. So looking at the difference really quick, if we believe God to be our provider with our heads and just in our mind, we acknowledge it to be true. We're saying it's a fact. We're accepting that. But in practice, there's no confidence behind it. It's the difference between a thought life of hope and a thought life of faith. So whatever we need the Lord's provision for, we're simply hoping God will provide it. It's like we're saying, God, I really need X, Y, and Z right now. Like, I just, that would be great if I really, really, really had it. And I hope you'll make it happen. Like, chances are kind of low, but I'm hoping. It's a thought life of hope. Still being fairly optimistic. Like, you can't say that that person is totally a pessimist, because they're not. They're hoping. But there is some pessimism sprinkled in there because there's no confidence behind it. So at the end of the day, we know with our minds, like, God is Jehovah Jireh, my provider, but there's a lack of confidence there. There's a lack of, like, oomph, if you will, behind it. We're just kind of hoping. And I know that's just, like, a hypothetical scenario to lay out there to contrast the difference, but it's kind of hard even just to put it out there like that, because even, like, saying that with my mouth, it feels so weak. And hope isn't a bad thing. Hope is actually a great thing. But compared to faith, hope is not a solid foundation. Like, faith is a much, much, much more solid foundation for us to stand on. Hope, in essence, is a precursor to faith. And we have to build a bridge between our hope and faith. Whatever we are hoping for is not tangible in our present reality, but whatever we have faith for is. The centurion spoke faith, and the young servant was healed that same hour. Hope can only speak to our future, but faith can speak to our present. Hebrews 11:1 tells us, faith shows the reality of what we hope for. It is the evidence of things we cannot see. When we bridge that gap, faith materializes our hope. Speaking faith is speaking evidence. We're reminding our physical selves of what our spiritual realities are. And I know that's a long detour from the example, but it ties right in, going back to it, because when we believe with our hearts that God is our provider, it's a thought life of faith. It's us being fully convinced. Like the centurion, we're simply saying, Lord, just say the word, with full confidence behind our request. Lord, just say the word. There's no doubt, just faith. Not merely hoping, but convinced. The Lord knows who he is, right? He knows who he is. And the whole point of our faith is that he wants and is waiting for us to be fully convinced of who he is. The word of God should guide our speech. And when we reach that place of being convinced, it does. Living a life full of faith doesn't just provide us with a better quality of life. It pleases God. Hebrews 11:6 says, and it is impossible to please God without faith. Anyone who wants to come to him must believe that God exists and that he rewards those who sincerely seek him. And faith isn't like some far off, unattainable thing that we have to, like, grind and grind and grind to try and get. Like, no, Romans 10:17 says, so faith comes from hearing. That is, hearing the good news about Christ. Being hearers of the word produces faith. To be hearers of the word, we can't settle for just listening and allowing it to go in one ear and out the other, right? There's always going to be a heart condition involved in how we're choosing to participate and interact with everything that's around us. But we have to truly sit under the word of God, hearing with attentiveness what it says. That brings faith. When we do that, that brings faith. Proverbs 3:5 says, every word of God proves true. He is a shield to all who come to him for protection. So every word of God proves true. And John 8:32 says, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. So when we submit ourselves to the truth of God's word, we are set free. Meaning that being hearers of the word doesn't just bring faith, it brings freedom. This places a premium importance on what we're hearing. If what we're hearing can bring faith and freedom, that's what we should be centered around. Whatever we're hearing is producing something. And this is important as we're talking about the importance of our words, because no one speaks to you more than you speak to yourself. Like, and I'm not talking about like whispering to yourself in the corner or anything like that, but it's your inner thought life. Like, even as we were talking about a thought life of hope or a thought life of faith, you always have that kind of like inner conversation in your head, your own inner voice that's speaking things to you. So you are the prime person who is speaking to yourself. So what are you, like, what you are saying is what you are hearing. And we have to ask ourselves, what are we saying to ourselves? What is it that we're hearing from ourselves? Hearing the word doesn't just come on Sunday morning or watching a YouTube video or podcast. We, by our own voice, can be hearers of the word. And that's exactly what happens when we allow the word of God to guide our speech. If that's what we're speaking and we're speaking the word of God, we, by our own voice, are being hearers of the word of God. Our goal should be to speak less of our thoughts and our opinions over our lives and more of God's word over our lives. 1 Corinthians 3:18 through 19 reads, "Stop deceiving yourselves. If you think you are wise by this world's standards, you need to become a fool to be truly wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness to God. As the scriptures say, he traps the wise in the snare of their own cleverness." Our wisdom and our thoughts are foolishness in light of God's wisdom and God's thoughts. If what I'm speaking is what I'm hearing, and what I'm hearing is producing something in my life, I'd much rather speak God's wisdom and God's thoughts over myself and reap what it is that his word produces. Isaiah 55:11 says, "It is the same with my word. I send it out and it always produces fruit. It will accomplish all I want it to, and it will prosper everywhere I send it." Isaiah affirms that God's prophecies will be fulfilled and that his word will always be fruitful by producing what it is that God wants it to. We can trust God's word to produce good fruit in our lives. Psalm 119:11 reads, "I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you." If the word is what's in our hearts, it will be what we speak. And in so doing, we are keeping sin out of our lives. In Matthew 12:36-37, Jesus says, "And I tell you this, you must give an account on judgment day for every idle word you speak. The words you say will either acquit you or condemn you." The weight and the importance of our words at this point, I feel like it's pretty obvious. I hope it's pretty obvious. Our words have great importance in what they speak to us about ourselves and in what they're speaking to ourselves. And as always, seeing tangible progress boils down to having a relationship with God. Everything boils down to having a relationship with God. Because when we truly know God, we are convinced. When we're close with someone and we spend a lot of time with them, we start to pick up their mannerisms. We start to pick up little phrases that they say. Like, you'll have like a lot of families, and like within their family, there'll be things that you can hear them all say. Or they'll be like, "Oh yeah, he just sounds like his dad. Like, he's saying that same phrase that his dad says," or different things like that. Because we become like those we spend time with. We become like those we invest in spending time with. And it's the same thing with God. As we spend time with God, our speech begins to reflect his speech. And our inward changes should always be reflected in our outward behavior. James 3:7-8 says, "People can tame all kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and fish, but no one can tame the tongue. It is restless and evil, full of deadly poison." And in light of everything I've just said, that sounds pretty contradictory and counterintuitive, right? Like, what's the point of all this if I can't even tame my tongue? Like, wow, that's great, Lord. Like, I want to set out and do this, and I want to make an improvement, but what am I supposed to do? Like, okay, great, I tried. Like, end of story. But no, that's exactly the point, is that it's not our job to try and change anything. It's just our job to surrender and to come to that place of being willing to surrender. The verse doesn't tell us that the tongue can't be tamed. It just tells us that people can't tame the tongue. And in a place of surrendering to God and the work of the Holy Spirit within us, we're not left to tame our tongues ourselves. In Psalm 141:3, David prays, "Take control of what I say, O Lord, and guard my lips." A prayer of faith, a simple prayer of faith. And the worship team can come on up as I'm getting ready to close. But I think now, in this time of fresh start thinking and all of that great things as we're getting ready to go into the new year, it's a great time for us to take inventory of what our words are telling us is in our hearts. If we find areas that we need to surrender, honestly, I know it doesn't sound good, but that's great. Because, like I said earlier, once we're aware of things, that's when we can see them changed in ourselves. Once we know, or if we do find things, now we're in the position to surrender them and see ourselves changed. As we surrender to God and His Word and hide His Word in our heart, what our words say about us will change. In our own mouth will grace us with the truth of the Word of God. And as we really grow and truly become convinced in all who God is, our words won't just grace us, but they'll grace everyone around us with the Word of God. And we're gracing them with the Word of God and with truth. And then they too will become hearers of the Word. And that puts them in a position to accept faith and to grow in faith. And that's what we're meant to do. And as we get ready to close, I know that like sounds like a lot, but I want us to focus and be centered on what are our words saying about us? Are there things where it's like, I don't want to be a negative person, or I don't know, whatever it could be for you and you personally, those are areas that the Lord has the power to change. When we know who God is, we are fully convinced. And we're going to get ready to pray, and that'll be part of my prayer, just that we would all be fully convinced. When we step into a knowledge of who God really is, there's no lack of faith because we know His power. By His Word, He spoke everything into existence, right? There's nothing that God can't do. So when I think about, you know, different areas of lack that we may be experiencing, maybe it's our lack of asking. Because on God's end, He's not really lacking anything, right? You know, there's nothing that He can't do. But if we want to experience some kind of change in our lives, we just have to surrender ourselves to asking, but speak that faith over ourselves. When we get it into our hearts, don't just hold it there. Speak it out. Speak what you're believing. When we are confident about something and we're sure that something is true, we speak it out, don't we? We say it. We share it. We tell people about it. If you have God in your heart and you're sure and you're standing sure-footed on it, speak it out. If that's really what you believe, be confident. Be bold with it, especially going into this new year. People are hurting and they need the Word of God, and we have that. We have the ability to help other people be hearers of the Word of God. And at the same way that brings faith into our life, people will meet us and come in contact with us and have a decision to make, because there's no way they can confront us and meet us and not be faced with the truth of the Word of God. And yes, it's theirs to accept or reject, but simply by hearing, they can experience and come in contact with faith. And that is our job as believers and as Christians. And if you're someone and you haven't accepted Christ and you haven't made that decision, God is simply just waiting for you. Everything is already there. He's already paid the price. He's already done it all. And He loves you and He cares about you. And if you are like, wow, all these things sound great and I want to see that change in my life, like I said, it all boils down to a relationship with God. If you step into a relationship with Him, He'll be faithful and just to change you, because that's who He is. And I think it's in 2 Timothy, I don't know the exact verse, but it talks about our half and God's half, and if we act a certain way, what God's response is. And I remember it says, if we are unfaithful, and as I was reading it, because it was just like opposites, like if we do this, then God is this, and if we do this, God is this. So when I read it, I was like, oh, if we're unfaithful, God will be unfaithful. But it says, if we're unfaithful, God will still be faithful, for He cannot change who He is. And that really kind of like changed my life, honestly, in my perspective, because it's not just all about who we are. God can't change who He is. So even if we're unfaithful, no, God is still faithful. And I think the enemy often tries to lie to us, right? He's the father of lies, and he tries to tell us the opposite of everything. But no matter where you are, no matter what you're doing, no matter what your life looks like, even if you're being unfaithful to God, He will still be faithful to you, for He cannot change who He is. And I'm going to, like I said like 5 minutes ago, but I am going to close in prayer. But I hope going into this new year that you are all blessed and that you all see God's love for you, that His grace and His mercy and His favor over your lives, and that He cares for you and that He wants the best for you. And even if we are saved and we have been saved for a billion years, there's still work that the Lord wants to do with us. There are still glories to glories for us to go to in Jesus. But I'm just going to pray. Lord, thank you so much for each and every single person. Lord, you care about them more than I ever could. And I'm so grateful for that, Lord. You love them. You see them. You see their circumstance. You see their situation, Lord. I pray that right now you would just be speaking faith into their hearts wherever they are, Lord. That you would be speaking faith into whatever situation they need greater faith into, Lord. I pray that as we're getting ready to close out this year and start a new one, that we would set our hearts on being surrounded by your word, God. It's only when we're in your word, meditating on it, being centered around it, hiding it in our hearts, that we will see that change produced in us, Lord. We can't speak something that we don't know, Lord. So I pray that in hearing the word, we would start to know your word, Lord, that we would start to ingrain it deep into our spirits, Lord, that the same way we can pull random facts off the top of our heads, God, that we would be able to pull scripture off the top of our heads, Lord, that we would be able to center our speech around what it is that your word says, God, that what it is your word says about us, what it says about other people, Lord, that we would just be light to everyone around us based off of us speaking your word, which is life-giving power, which is good news, Lord. I thank you for the opportunity, Lord, just to center ourselves around changing things, around becoming better in you, Lord. There is nothing that you won't change if we surrender it to you, God. So I pray that you would speak that surrender into our hearts, Lord, that you would soften our hearts to everything that is of you, Lord. I pray for peace and joy, Lord. I pray that every condition of our heart that needs to be changed, Lord, that you would bring it to our mind, Lord. Not in a sorrowful way, God, but in joy, because we are now in the position to see it changed in Jesus' name. I thank you, Lord, that your word brings healing power, Lord, that your word brings saving power, that your word brings loving power into our lives, God. I pray that you'll continue to work in us and through us, Lord, that you'll continue to speak to us, God, that you administer to us every day as we set ourselves towards your word. In Jesus' name, amen.